This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects. Barry's out. He'll be back on Monday after taking a week off in Cali. So we made a trade on a temporary basis. We sent Barry to Cali, and we brought Cali here. But he's got roots here in Texas from Dallas, Jerry Rocha. Hey. He's in town. He's been a friend of the show. He's been our featured comedian of the week. And he's in town doing some comedy at the Joke Joint this weekend. Check him out.
Yeah, man.
And he's actually being generous to you, the suspects, and making sure that if you call the number and you inquire, you can get tickets to his shows this weekend. Check him out. Support. Show some love.
Yeah. And once again, that number, 281-481-1188. 281-481-1188.
And when you're there, make sure you tell him that you are there because of the suspects, because we love our suspects.
Yeah, come on.
That always support the show. So hour number two on the way. Nick, have you called and gotten your tickets yet?
I have not.
Come on,
Nick. I'm sure Jerry could hook me up.
I'll hook you up, buddy. See? I got you. See? But wait a minute. What? Am I like the Manny Machado of The Usual Suspects? I'm just, you rented me, you made the move to rent me for the rest of the week, and then that's it, right?
Well, I mean, someone's got to go if you come in, right?
Yeah.
So I don't think we're moving anybody out. Now, we have had a couple of text messages that were leaning that way. They're already big Jerry fans.
Oh, but, I love you all. Thank you.
You know, and
only three roster spots.
Nick, if you think about it, in all of our advertising and all of our marketing, you just got to change two letters.
Yeah.
That's a really B-A true. In Barry.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And a J-E that's instead. And most people spell Barry B-E-R-R-Y.
It's really just one. I don't know why. Like, he's a fruit. He's not. He's not a berry. He is a
we
berry.
We have a female listener that calls him Strawberry.
That's pretty good. I like that. That next call, I do not like that subject line.
Yeah, this is this one could go a lot of different directions, but we asked for it because we brought up the subject of Ozuna. Did. So let's see where this goes. Corey wants to talk domestic violence. Corey, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
How you doing, Corey?
Doing good. Hey, so let me preface this by saying I'm a diehard Ohio State fan, but what one of y'all said earlier is like, guys, we absolutely know better.
Yeah.
And like, I had a phone conversation with my dad, who's also a diehard Ohio State fan. Like, I bought him an Archie Griffin dual sign for every year that he won the Heisman helmet. If it came out that Urban Meyer knew about a woman being abused and he did nothing about it, fire him. Absolutely. Guys, we know better. Come on now.
Dude, Corey, I can't agree with you more, man. No. And it's so true. And like, now, okay, as an Ohio State fan, did your heart just, your heart had to have hit your stomach when that story came out, right? Like, that had to have been like, oh, great, really?
Yeah, no, it absolutely was. Like, after Jim Tressel and like, the Jonestown boys.
Yeah,
like, really, we're going through this crap again.
But didn't Jim Tressel? All he did was just let the players make money on the side.
Tattoos.
That
and
was
autographs
it, right?
And, yeah,
like, right, that, like that, controversy after controversy.
Right. So, I mean, this is like. I mean, Jim Tressel is a saint compared to this.
Well, and so Corey, I think
you're absolutely right.
Corey,
you're right.
I went on this rant the other day, and I think you'll probably side with me on this one. But I said, you know, and it got heated yesterday, and I had to hang up on a caller and kind of put him in his place with the whole Briles thing being at practice yesterday for U of H as well, and saying, look, these guys have been trusted by parents to look out for their children.
Right.
And not only did they not look out for them and their best interests, but they put them in precarious situations. They also, the one thing that I kept saying is, everybody's worried about Ray Rice. Everybody's worried about Art Briles, but no one's paying enough attention and worry to what happened to the victims. You know, the Michigan State, you look no further than the Michigan State situation, man. And say, think about all these young, impressionable women that were just trying to be the best athlete they could be, and now they're scarred for life.
And that was hundreds.
Yeah, you have got to prioritize the victims first and realize the other point I was making was you were given this privilege of being able to coach these kids. And you didn't do it well. So therefore, go sell insurance. Go do something else. But you don't belong coaching anywhere ever again.
Oh, yeah. I mean, really, you should just be in prison. I mean, like, if
absolutely.
You're
especially,
like,
that's it. If you're not going to be put away like Larry Nassar, but you're going to get away with whatever you got away with. And just
brutal.
With Briles or other guys.
Right.
Then, hey, do something else.
And it's like, I mean, again, to Corey's point, it's like, you know, you should know better. And like Corey, like, I mean, I'm sure if all this plummets Ohio State will be back, right? It's not like there's some tiny program that, I mean, if they lose Urban Meyer with this, you can still survive that, right? Like, I would rather survive a bad couple of years than have to root for something like that, if that makes any sense.
I completely agree with you. Yep, I would rather root for Ohio State while they are absolutely sucking butt.
Right, right.
Then root for a team that head coach let domestic abuse happen.
Exactly.
And got completely away with it. But if he comes out and it's clear he's innocent, okay, so be it. But
right,
if he kills
right.
him, fire him.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Great,
get rid of him.
Great call, Corey. We
thank
appreciate
you, dude.
You
have a great
show.
Weekend,
here's
man.
The thing, too. The other thing that I look at this is, and it's almost the Andy Pettit philosophy, right? If you're guilty, admit it now.
Yeah.
And say that's on me.
Right.
But if you Roger Clemens it and you continue to deny it,
right,
it's,
right.
It doesn't go away. It gets bigger and it gets worse. Yeah. So if you are Ohio State and you can either cut your losses or you
right
can own
now.
Up to it now,
yeah.
you can do what you guys are saying. You can start. Right. You can continue to have a fan base that has an alliance to you.
Yeah.
But if you do Michigan State and you deny, cover right. up, cover up, cover up.
Right.
It ain't going away, and now
no.
you're scarred. It's Penn State. It's Michigan State. You are scarred for
a long,
long time. Long time, maybe forever in a lot of people's
minds.
Oh,
my God. Well, let's go to the Ohio State thing. Like, here's why I don't think it's, like, why, if you have an inkling, if it looks like Urban Meyer, you can get rid of him. I mean, dude, best case scenario, Bob Stoops, you could talk him out of retirement. And,
oh, there's a guy coaching in Austin that might, even though he said UT was his dream job,
right.
that might want to go right back to Ohio State.
Yeah, like, so, there, dude, do you know how quick that line forms to become the Ohio State head coach? You know what I mean? If they get rid of Urban Meyer, do you know how quick you could get so many big name, great coaches that would take that job in a second?
I think it's the school, though. It's the reason why it's if they were to get rid of Urban Meyer, a part of that is an indirect message saying that, yeah, Urban Meyer, perhaps he did know or perhaps right. he has some responsibility. So that might lead to sanctions from the NCAA. It's not going to be the easiest path back, but I do agree with you. It's Ohio State. They'll make their way back.
Right.
But
it's
still going to be a process.
Sure.
So, as we
sure.
bring this thing full circle, just like we were talking about with Jeff Luna, right? Ohio State, for the most part, yeah, they've had some little blemishes and things like that, but it's an upstanding university. It's a huge program football-wise. People look up to it in terms of athletically. But you look at this whole situation, too, and you say what's going on and say what you're trying to do is you're trying to – and I'm trying to phrase this the right way, but when you look at Urban Meyer's track record, it's filthy, okay?
Yeah.
He won at Florida, but at what cost? You know, you got players that are playing in the NFL now that said, I had to literally suspend myself because I was doing so much damage
right.
to people, the university, and myself, and no one cared as long as I was ready to play on Saturdays.
Dude, right?
So you look at that track record and say, as much as what Urban Meyer is doing on the field for Ohio State, you have to go, this is not something new, and this guy's got a really bad record.
How many arrests were in Florida? It was crazy, right?
It's a ridiculous number.
Yeah.
Let's not forget Aaron Hernandez, who wasn't
Dude.
Coming out of college squeaky clean, went to Florida,
yeah.
played in that system, had problems with Urban Meyer.
Yep.
You know, you can go up and down the list. So it's not like you got a guy that, and again, you mentioned the caller, Corey mentioned a call in which you could say Jim Tressel came from smaller programs and was notorious for success and doing it the right way and doing everything. So there's a reason why we're not chastising Jim Tressel.
All
he's
Jim
still
Tressel
coaching.
Did was try to make his kids some money on the side.
And he's still
that
coaching
is,
because of it.
Yeah.
But if you're Urban Meyer, and this is just another blemish,
yep.
again, this is where you start throwing a bigger book at him.
Do you mind if I read a tweet from a listener? Christina
said... Oh, that's our pink Valkyrie.
Yeah, she had a great line. I'll be honest, I haven't watched an Astros game since Osuna was acquired. Just hasn't had the same feeling. And my daughter was disappointed. And Christina has every right to feel that way. And I don't blame her. And that's another thing. Let's say you like taking your five-year-old daughter or daughter to a baseball. How do you explain this? You know what I mean? Like, hey, Dad, why are they booing this guy? Oh, well, you know what I mean? Like, that's
yes.
got to be a tough, like, that's just,
Christina's a loyal listener.
That is such a weird situation to put your fan base in.
We got a guy that's on the air here, Patrick Creighton, and he said the most difficult thing he had to deal with was trying to explain to his kids what the Astros just did.
Was that former Cowboy Patrick Creighton?
No.
Oh, okay.
If I introduce you to Patrick Creighton, you'll be very remorseful that you ever threw that
okay.
out there.
All right.
But Nick, if you want to address that, he asked if Patrick Creighton that works here was former Dallas Cowboy Patrick Creighton. And I could not have said no quick enough.
No, he's not. If you saw Patrick Crane, you'd know why.
Seriously, he is strong.
Yeah.
But just in the vocal cords.
Come on.
I'm just letting you know. All right.
Don't be Patrick Crane. I got your
back.
We
love Patrick Crane.
We love him, but he's not, and he's a New York guy. So the accent and the volume through the roof. So, yeah, I mean, look, that's a situation, and we can touch on the Maryland situation again, but now the McNair family, the parents of the 19-year-old offensive lineman who passed away based on what happened at Maryland, has said no parent in this country should think about having their child ever play for DJ Durkin again. And in the process of saying that, they should say, they also said that any parent that has kids at Maryland right now should get them out. So that lets you know, on top of what we played for you yesterday from Jabril Peppers, right, who played for Durkin when Durkin was the D coordinator at Michigan, and said, I thought that Coach Durkin was just doing this kind of stuff to try and get the most out of us, right, so he'd get a D1 job, and whenever he got that, he'd change, and he hasn't, which means that, again, like the Urban Meyer track record, this is a pattern that's been going on that has no place in college athletics,
dude, I don't understand how that makes you a better player, is being tortured. Literally. I mean, if you look at what happened to McNair, that is torture. And I don't understand how that makes him a man. No, it doesn't. Shut up. Like, that is just like you can. It's just fascinating how these old school coaches think they have to be scumbags. And it's like, dude, enough. Like, it's all this phony all tough guy bravado.
Coaches come in and if you think as a parent that all coaches are all players going to be treated equally, you're sadly mistaken.
Absolutely.
But there are certain players you coddle, certain players you give tough love to, and certain players you kind of finesse in between.
Yes.
In no way, shape, or form do any of those three possibilities for the way your kid is going to be coached involve
torture,
violence, abuse, verbally, physically, or otherwise. The days of Bo Schembechler and Woody Hayes and all that crap, way gone.
It's so
and they
dumb.
Should be.
It's so dumb in our kid. Like, I'm a UT fan, and I just could not stand Will Muschamp when he was back at UT. Just those complete over the top, attention hungry screaming fits. I'm like, you're just doing this to get a job somewhere. Shut up.
You know the latest, right?
Yeah, he defended it.
Yeah, he starts defending Durkin, and we're like, look, bro, you might have a great relationship with this dude. You were buddies on the same staff.
Too bad.
Being buddies and abusing kids and verbally and physically, big time difference.
Phony tough guy bravado.
No
it's so
doubt.
Annoying. Just get a penis enlargement pill. Seriously, just do something about your tiny penis and don't torture kids. That's it.
And while you're at it, head to iTunes after you do that.
And buy my Apple.
Pickledy. Yeah. Get a Pickledy.
With your brand new one,
get a new D
with
and
your
a
new
and
giant
a
one, buy mine. Yeah.
Call it a weekend.
There you go.
All right, Jerry Roach is sitting in for Barry. We're having some fun on The Usual Suspect. It's Nick and Joel. We'll be back with more right here on 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects. Hour number two, 3-hour show. We really appreciate Jerry Rocha filling in for Barry today. Having some fun. He's in town all weekend, gang. He's giving away free tickets. He's at the Joke Joint. So basically, if you want to hear and see Jerry Rocha, you can see him tonight and tomorrow night. Jerry, why don't you do the rest? Do the honors?
It'll be Friday. Tonight is 8 and 10:30. Saturday, 7 and 10. By the way, thank you very much for letting me do this.
Pleasure.
And the number is area code 281-481-1188. 281-481-1188. Say that you heard me here in The Usual Suspects, and you'll get in.
Awesome. That's a great deal right there.
Yeah.
Speaking of great deals, Jeff Blum, Astros TV, AT&T Sportsnet, joining us like he normally does. At 2:30, he pops in from time to time. Lots to talk to him about ahead of that big series against the A's this weekend. So we'll talk to him about that. Looking at some text messages, texter says, Jerry, are you going to be at the Cowboys-Texans game? It's going to be crazy. And he says, go Cowboys.
Oh, hell yeah. Go Cowboys. Thanks. I wish I would, but I'm not going to be able to, sadly. But yes, I want to go see that game bad. But yeah, that is going to be It's going to be nuts. I mean, it's funny, not to be mean, but I have no problem with Houston. It's weird how most Dallasites, so we could care less about the Dallas-Houston rivalry.
I was going to say, from a Houston perspective, there's a lot
Houston
of animosity towards Dallas.
Yeah, Houston
hates us. But from a Dallas
us.
Perspective the other way, it's really not
we
there?
We don't really care. I mean, it's not, because, again, I grew up, it was if the Cowboys weren't good, then I wanted the Oilers to win.
Really?
That's how I was as a kid. I just wanted a Texas team as a kid.
You think everybody was like that, or
a lot of my friends were. We didn't care. We weren't like, oh, I can't. We as long as we beat Houston. No. I grew up hating the Redskins, the Eagles, and the Giants. That was it. Those are the only teams that I had any issue with. All in the division, yeah. And then eventually the 49ers. Right?
You do realize because of you and your favorite team, there is an ordinance for all football game, professional football games at NRG Stadium. Because of the tailgate fights that happened when the Cowboys came here a few years back, you now have to have a ticket to tailgate and be on the parking lot premises.
Oh, that's amazing.
All because of the brawls that were going on because of Cowboys.
Right.
And you're saying that was all because of the fact it was all driven by...
We didn't care.
You're saying it's all Texans fans.
Nope. None of my friends that I grew up, we've never cared. We've never had it. Oh, I just don't want to see Houston win. As long as... like, because what is the point? As long as we beat Houston in the preseason, then it's a success. Like, we don't care.
But
like,
let's be honest.
We don't care.
Let's be honest. You don't care about Houston, but there is
not in a bad way. I mean, I don't care about a rivalry with Houston.
I get that. But I would say this. Cowboy fans have always been known, though, for being a little arrogant.
Well, yeah.
Being a little vocal.
Of course.
So if you're arrogant and vocal and on someone else's turf, that could stir some.
Yeah, no, and I don't blame
Philadelphia
people.
Philadelphia fans.
Yeah, I don't blame people for getting mad at us for that. But okay. I don't understand why. I've never understood that. Was there a war between Dallas and Houston that we all... No. Shut up. Who cares? You're 3 hours away. It's not that you don't have to deal with this. It's fine. 4 hours, five, whatever it is. Why do you care so much? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Now, maybe Astros Rangers could turn into something. That could be fun. But again, it's like no Cowboy fans. All that matters is once every 4 years, we got to beat the Texans. We could care less. We don't care. And you shouldn't either. You have so many other great things to root for in the city of Houston. You should not care about what Dallas sports does or doesn't do. You have so many amazing things. You have the second best team in the Western Conference in basketball. You're the defending World Series champions.
Yes.
You finally have a quarterback that is really exciting and fun to watch. You're okay. You don't need to break balls about the cow. Who cares about the and you don't even care about getting a hockey team. So you're going to be okay. You don't need to worry about anything. I really mean it.
That's
my PSA to the Houston sports fan.
I was going
to
say, that's some good stuff right there.
Thank you.
That's something that we can actually...
You have so many things to be proud about. You have so many things to be excited about in Houston. You should not care what happens 4.5 hours north or
they
however
still
far
hate
the
you,
trip.
Though. They still
I
hate
know. They always them. Will. And I, you know what? I know. We love, in a way, though, we love it. We're like, yeah, you know what? We don't think twice about your team, and you're losing sleep over the Cowboys. Have fun. You know what I mean? Like, that's how we are.
I mean, I will say, Cowboy fans, some of them do hate the Texans, but I don't think
I don't
it's the,
get it.
I don't
I've
think
never,
it's that.
You know
I don't
who
think
it is? It's Cowboy fans that aren't in Dallas. Like, I have family in Laredo. A lot of my family's in Laredo. So when I go back to visit them, there's a Cowboy fan and a Texan fan. And they're all, I'm like, why do either of you care? Like, just enough. You're 6 hours away from anybody.
It's entertaining to watch, though. You don't
it's,
just,
it's fun
you should
to
just let it play out.
It's fun to watch how stupid it is. Yes. In a way, you know, but
yes.
It's like, who cares? I've never understood, like, you know, again, if the Cowboys and the Texans were in the same division, okay, then it's all.
But what about
all
Rangers
different.
Astros?
That could be fun, but as
that
of right
same
now,
division.
Maybe, but the Rangers have to do their part. The Astros
did
their part. No, when, the Rangers suck. They suck.
I would say this: the biggest thing you have is neither team has been in the situation where both teams were good at the same time.
That's
when
what
the
I'm talking
Astros
about.
Sucked,
yes.
Yeah, then the Rangers were good and vice versa.
There's a reason that the reason as a Cowboy fan I have such hatred for the other NFC East teams is because, I'm sorry to say this, bring the hate mail, that's the best division in football. Every single team has won a Super Bowl. Like, the
but
hatred.
The history.
The history. But the thing is, like, when I was a kid, all of them were pretty good. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it was. That's why every Redskin game was an event. Every Giants game was an event. Every Philly game was an event because they were all pretty good. You had Buddy Ryan, telling the Philly teams to purposely take out the Dallas quarterback. Like you had that.
But I was going to say, this year, there's some pretty good divisions in football.
There are some good ones. I'm saying historically,
right.
All around.
As I said, you're saying it over time.
If you were to put a best of the NFL team, right? The best of the NFC. If you had a best of all time, 90% of that team would be from the NFC East. It would be Cowboys. That 90%. If you were to pick an all time greatest Eastern NFC, not AFC, but all time NFC
East.
No, just NFC period. All the players that have played for the National Football Conference, right?
And you're going to say it's 90% Cowboys?
No. 90% NFC East. 90% of those. Come on.
90%?
At least. Lawrence Taylor. I mean, look at all the names.
Brett
Smith.
Favre. Walter Payton.
Payton. I'll give you Payton. Okay. I won't give you Favre any of the Cowboys over the Cowboy. Aaron Rodgers
look
is better than Favre.
Look at his statistics.
Aaron Rodgers is better than Favre.
Reggie White?
He'd be okay. I would still... Well, he was an Eagle.
I knew you were going to say
he
that.
He was an Eagle.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, Reggie White as an Eagle. Absolutely. My NFC... My buddy... So I do a podcast called The Ramble. Barry was just on the most recent episode. And my buddy, Eddie Pence, he's a great comic who's my... He calls me the Kellyanne Conway of the Dallas Cowboys.
I can see why.
He's like, you can spin any Cowboy story into just like, nope, it's fine. So that was my stupid Cowboy rant.
By the way, good stuff with the Niners in town. Producer T. Scott, our man, Richard Sherman was out there saying, Houston is a great city. Nice people, good food. This heat and humidity is real, though. I don't see how y'all do it every day.
Yeah.
Tyler responded, you merely adopted the humidity. We were born into it, molded by it. I didn't know a dry heat until I was already a man. But then it was nothing to me but cold. The fact that Tyler's interacting with Richard Sherman, very cool stuff.
Hilarious. That's great.
That's because we're ESPN 97.5. It's just that simple.
Humidity is part of Texas, baby. We're just used to it. It's funny, like when
thick.
Man. I'm with Tyler. I didn't know that there was anything else. When I moved to LA and there's like, oh, these LA summers, I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, oh, it's over 100. I'm like, this ain't over 100. Go call me. Right. Go to Houston in Dallas in the middle of August and then you tell me what over 100 feels like because it ain't
this. Walk outside with a bar of soap and still take a shower and lather without getting any water. Yeah, that's called sweating your you-know-what's off.
Oh, yeah.
Not your D, Nick, but your B. B's.
Oh, not your pickle? I was going to try to plug my CD, but never mind. I couldn't.
Dude, you're like the electric company with the plugs you got. You're going to keep plugging. We're going to have plenty of chances to plug.
I like that.
Don't worry. Hey, Nick, tell Antonio we got Jeff Blum next before the Astros game, so if he wants to hang or call back, we'll get back to him.
Antonio, hold on, because I love your comment, so I can't wait. Please hold on, Antonio.
See what we did here, Nick? We created a monster. We'll be back with Jeff Blum.
More
coming
calls
up
to
next.
Come.
Yeah, Astros topics next. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspect.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back. Usual Suspects. Appreciate Antonio Holden. We'll get him in the next segment. But right now, I do want to welcome in a friend of the show. Great dude. Jeff Blum joins us. Getting ready. AT&T Sportsnet doing the game tonight. Astros, A's. Huge series in the Bay Area. And Blummer, before I do anything else, I want to preface the fact that we got rid of Barry for you, so you don't have to worry about him coming up with some lame-ass name that you have to use on the air. But in his place, I want to warn you that Jerry Rocha is with us. He's a comedian. He's in town doing some shows in Houston. You can follow him on Twitter. He's a great dude. But he's going to have some randoms for you that I have no control of. I want to throw that out right off the top, and I know you're prepared for it.
Yeah, there's nothing like a disclaimer on live air.
That's right, but I got to do it, because if I don't, then it's on my ass if things go haywire.
Nice to meet you, Jeff. How you doing?
Yeah, nice meeting you, too. I'm doing great.
Great, man. Nice.
All right, Blummer, set it up for us. I mean, this is a huge series. I've been telling people, look, they got the best road record in the American League. They got a better road record than the Red Sox, but I'm trying to take the spin of the positivity, because that last homestand was incredibly hard to watch and stomach and try and figure out, and I'm sure for you as well, because no one would have ever anticipated 9 straight home losses. The pitching's still doing what they do, but obviously the injuries are a huge factor right now with the fact that you just have a lot of holes in that lineup.
Yeah, and that homestand was a little concerning, but the fact that you mentioned that they're on the road is probably the biggest thing, and I know that those guys in that clubhouse are probably looking forward to it too. Not that they don't like playing at home, but for whatever reason that we can't figure out, they just do not have the same kind of offense at home consistently. We saw brilliance on the last game heading into the road trip where they just lit it up and drove the ball out of the ballpark 5 times. So we know it's in there,
mm-hmm.
and that's probably what the most frustrating thing is knowing that they have that power potential, but it just shows up sporadically at home. But on the road, it's pretty consistent. They've got great numbers here in Oakland.
Let me ask you real quick before we get off into other topics, too. From an Oakland perspective, there's a team that for the last several years, Astros fans just kind of smirked off and said, oh, that's a young team, that's a number, money ball thing, but they're not going to keep the good players, and at the end of the year, they're not going to be a factor. This is a team that is not going away, and this is a team that went out and made aggressive moves before the trade deadline last month and has proven that they aren't going anywhere, are they?
No, and I think it was kind of interesting. If you watch the way teams kind of put their ball clubs together, you talked about the youth of the Oakland A's. We know they trade away a lot of talent to get young talent back. They don't go out too often and get that free agent guy that's going to help bolster their veteran rotation or something like that. They're going to wait and see about halfway through the season and kind of measure out and look at their projections and anticipate if they have the opportunity to sell or buy. And they kept the core of their offense intact. I think Chris Davis is a kind of an underrated West Coast type power hitter that doesn't get talked about a lot. Matt Chapman is their third baseman who's getting a lot of attention. But these guys play a good Oakland A baseball, get on base. They're gritty. They get big hits when they need them. They're not very good on defense. They've got reasonable starting pitching. But what you saw with them at the trade deadline is go out and get three closers or two closers in Jeurys, Familia, and Fernando Rodney. So they've got veteran closer types, but what they're trying to do is shorten that game and get their starters out of there quicker.
Yeah, no doubt.
Now, you actually perfectly prefaced my next question because you said the home offense is clearly there, right?
Yep.
How do you fix that? If you're in the clubhouse and you're in the middle of some weird home slump, but you're killing it on the road, is it some weird, like, are you overthinking it when you're at home? Like, how do you know what I mean? Like, I don't understand, I might be a dumb question or naive question, but is there a way to just kind of, like, does a team have to just kind of get together and go, all right, guys, what are we not doing at home? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, what's the way that you would go about fixing that if you were a player?
I don't think it's a dumb question at all, because it's something that needs to be asked, because there's such a discrepancy in how well they play at home in comparison to on the road,
mm-hmm.
and it was similar last year until they got to the playoffs, and then we saw them go off in the playoffs where it really proved to be home field advantage for them. You get to the point where you're like, hey, we'll work out of this, and then you play another series at home and you don't do what you want to do, and then you're like, okay, this is going to be the series, we'll turn around, boys, and then you don't do it. You go out on the road and you put up monster numbers, and you come back home and you say, all right, we need to do this at home. And I think that's where they're at right now, is saying that they need to do this at home. And that's when you start to press a little bit and you start to squint a little bit more. You start to hold the bat a little bit tighter, because you said it right at the top of the show, is that the pitching hasn't changed. That luckily has been the one constant, is the starting pitching is going out there and shoving on a daily basis, no matter whether it's home or road. It's just a matter of when the offense can show up consistently, because realistically, they only need to go out there and score 4 runs.
Dude, with that pitching staff, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, now, okay, if you might mind if I ask you another one of that, like, if you can put on, like, the player hat, right? What are you thinking in the dugout when you're not giving your pitcher run support? What is are you guys talking to yourselves? Is it, or do you just try to just, like, again, is it that situation if you don't want to overthink this? What goes on with the offense as they're watching their pitcher do a great job, but then inning after inning, they're coming up short?
I think you look at yourself as a collective unit and you try and figure out what's going on. Mm-hmm. But also recently they've had guys on the DL. So I think what they've started to do is kind of look a little bit in, individually, look at themselves a little bit. And when you start to do that, I think you start to get out of character. We heard Josh Reddick in an interview we had on Arrow the other day, where he was saying, you know what, we sometimes we try to step outside the box or try and step up so to speak, and be the guy that can carry the team. But I think these guys understand that individually, other than a Correa, Altuve, and a Springer, you really can't. They don't have that kind of talent or character to go out and carry the team. And Josh said it perfectly. He said, we just need to get back to doing what each of us does well. Mm-hmm. And Josh, you know, he's going to sneaky pop you, get you out of the ballpark. He's going to get you some clutch base hits when he needs to. And that's when things started to snowball in that last game, is when every guy took care of their business the way they normally do. Once you try and do something that's greater than you actually are, that's when you get in trouble.
Right. Robert, where are we on the injuries? Because, I mean, here's the thing. I said this during the course
George
of the
week. Back.
What's that?
George Springer's back.
Springer's back, but again, are we going to, with Springer, is it going to be like a Correa where he comes back, but it's going to take a while to get the rhythm back, get back in the, you know, the major league pitching, you know, and adjust? Because to me, everybody's so calm around here. Like, as long as they get healthy, they're going to be fine. But God forbid, we don't know what's going on with Altuve. And every time you get an update that's positive, then all of a sudden there was a setback. But good thing was he took some BP, took some infield. But man, we can't get those guys back fast enough.
No, you're right. And the sooner you get them back, the sooner they're going to get comfortable. We saw Correa sneak in a couple of hits. He got a big bases-loaded double. I think that's going to help the confidence of him. It's just a matter of time with those guys. Again, Major League Baseball is hard, and when they know that your timing is off because you're fresh off the DL, they're going to pick on you a little bit more. They're going to take advantage of the situation because you're not as locked in as you have been in the past. But you got to remember, baseball is not – It can be an immediate return type game, but we got to remember there's still 40 games left in this season. Yeah. And if these guys can show flashes of brilliance and then catch fire in the month of September, we're not even going to be remembering what the struggles were when they came off the DL. It's just a matter of time. But George hits well in this ballpark. He's hit well in this ballpark this year. And I think he also is looking forward to being the guy at the top of the lineup. And what that does is it pushes guys down in the lineup, mm-hmm. creates a little more depth. So you're not completely focused on 1-4. Now you've got to think about 1-7 because Marwin's going to get pushed down. Yuli's going to get pushed down. And then things start to look a little bit more normal.
But Blummer, just an addition to that too, because even if you're getting everybody back, and like I said, maybe some guys sooner than others, but I went on record as saying if before the waiver deadline passes at the end of the month, if they could add one more bat, it could only help them. I called it the Aflac, but their supplemental insurance. One, it guards against if there is some delays in guys coming back, and two, because of the fact that we saw that, you know, the Tyler White and the J.D. Davis and the Fishers just haven't hit the ball. Yeah, Tony Kemp's been a nice surprise. But because this isn't last year, this is this year, and you might be in a dogfight all the way to the end, another bat could only help them.
Yeah, it is completely different than it was last year where they needed rotation, and they got Justin Verlander this year. You know, in the offseason, they pick up Gerrit Cole, so their bullpen, I mean, their rotation's even deeper. They picked up a couple of guys in the back end of the bullpen, and that's gotten deeper. But I'm with you in the sense that, you know, one more bat could really be a nice fit in this Astros lineup because, you know, nothing against the young guys like a Derek Fisher or Kyle Tucker or some of these guys they tried out in left field. But if one of these veteran guys, you know, around the big leagues that has a proven bat and puts together good ABs and plays a decent left field, if one of those guys sneaks through waivers and becomes available, I would like to be in there, the so-called war room with Jeff Luhnow, and wonder if he's making some phone calls to see if he can't acquire one of those guys.
No doubt,
dude. Now, Jeff, I have a quick question for you, if that's okay.
Yeah,
I would love if you.
That put me on my toes. I'm ready.
If you want to come down and watch me headline the joke joint, I'll let you watch the game on my phone, and you can like call it from the green room if they let you do that. You're more than welcome. But do you mind if I shift gears completely and keep it on baseball, but talk about something else? Is that okay?
Yes. Yeah.
Where do you stand on Acuña getting hit on his, you know, where the bench is cleared and all that? And where do you stand on that? Like, is that something that the pitcher should have done, or is that cowardly by the pitcher? Like, as a hitter, after you hit a home run, if you're hot, should you really be worried?
He hit a home run in 5 straight games, 3 straight leadoff games.
Should you? I mean, do you have to be worried that the guy is going to throw basically a tantrum and try to hit you? I mean, right? I mean, isn't that crazy?
No, I'm sorry. I'm chopping at the bit because it's kind of this is probably going to get me in trouble, but it's a bitch move. You can't do that. If a guy is raking and you hit him, that sends an awful message that you just told everybody on the planet that you are not good enough to make an adjustment to get this
there
guy
it is.
Out.
Thank you. It's such a cowardly play.
Did you see Gardenhire's quote?
No.
Gardenhire said if he was pitching for me, I'd put him at leadoff the next game and let the other team have at him. I thought that was awesome.
I just don't think it's right that if you can't do your job, that you take that, like, it's like if I'm not a good waiter, should I immediately just start spitting in everybody's food? Like, no. Like, that's just a stupid thing to do. Like, if that, and I'm not saying that guy's a bad pitcher, but clearly that guy was terrified of being another statistic on Acuna's run, right?
Yep.
And that is, I just think that, like, wouldn't you rather go out as the guy who silenced him by your pitching and not by, like, what you said, making such a cowardly play?
Well played.
No, I can. You need to be able to make the adjustment. Now, if Acuna went out there, hit a bomb, bat flipped, moonwalked
right,
sure. first.
Right, mooned him when he hit the home plate.
You up, then you got an issue.
Right.
Real quick before I let you go, Blummer, because I was hounding you on Twitter about this, but it's a curiosity of mine. I know Springer, when he was slumping before the break, hit the home run in the All-Star game, and they were using that bat like it was a trophy until it cracked. What's the protocol these days with guys and bats? How long are they sticking with one bat? Are they rotating? Obviously, we know it's a superstitious game, and if a bat's got some hits in it, they're going to use it till it cracks. But how often are guys running through bats? How many bats do they go through in a year?
It depends on make, model, size, weight, handle. You know, if thinner the handle, the more the bat's going to break. Thicker the handle, the more durable it's going to be. But every guy has – they'll go out to the game with about three or four bats all pine tarred up and, you know, sticky and ready to go. But if there's one – like you saw Alex Bregman through that month of June. I think he used the same bat through the entire month of June until he broke it.
Wow.
And that's what guys do. You don't use it for batting practice. You use a separate bat, but you have a gamer. And a bat, and you use that thing until you use it when it gets hot. If it's not hot, put it in the tank and go get you a new one.
Nice.
If you find one that has hits in it.
That's awesome.
That's
hey,
so
buddy,
cool.
We appreciate it. As always, we're going to be glued to the TVs watching the call this weekend. You and TK, I assume, is back.
Nice to meet you, man.
The band's back together.
You got the whole crew back together. We're looking forward to it. Jeff Blum, AT&T Sportsnet. Always a good follow on Twitter as well. Blummer, thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
Appreciate it, fellas. You too. Have a good one.
There you go. Jeff Blum back with a whole lot more. It's The Usual Suspects at ESPN 97.5.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects. Before we get back into the show, I do want to remind you, hey, I got good friends at Fitz Roofing. If you are still digging out after the hurricane or you've had issues with your roof and you don't know who to turn to and you know there are storm chasers and deposit thieves, just sketchy overall roofers that are out there to get your money and then skip town without doing the work that you need done, just look no further than Fitz Roofing. Why? Well, they're locally owned and operated, so they're not going anywhere. And more important than anything else, they are a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master company. You don't know what that is? Well, I'm here to tell you. 1% of the roofers in the United States meet the criteria to attain this elite status, they got it. They also use top products like CertainTeed shingles, which means the roof's going to last, and their base warranties longer than your average roofer can give you. So they're going to take care of you all across the board. Not only that, they give 10% of all their profits back to the community through a nonprofit they set up called Fits for Families. All you need to know is the money goes to help people who need a roof over their head and need repairs done but don't have the money to pay for it. This is what this program has been set up for because they care about the community. They got an A-plus rating on the Better Business Bureau, 5-star ratings on Facebook and Home Advisor. It's one call or one check on the internet. It's all it takes. It's a free, no-obligation inspection, and all you got to do is pick up the phone, 832-521-3001, 832-521-3001, or fitzroofing.com. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time. Back on The Usual Suspects, Jerry Rocha is in town doing some comedy, so he was gracious enough to stop in and fill in for Barry. Nick and I are here having a great time, and Jerry, yes, not afraid to stir it up a little bit. Not like Barry, who likes to stir it up and see others fight while he watches. Jerry's stirring it up on a topic that's very passionate to a lot of people in this
town,
and that's that whole Cowboys hate thing going on. A lot of people during the break in the segment with Blummer chiming in. Most Cowboys fans hate the Texans is because their fans are annoying.
I don't even hate the Texans. I don't even care.
No, they hate you because
you're
annoying.
Me. Oh, that's
because
fine.
Cowboys fans are annoying.
Bring it. I don't care. Fine.
Okay.
Of course we're annoying, but
You have the most passive aggressive classic Dallas takes ever. That was mentioned.
I don't even know what that means. I think I was being pretty blunt with my thoughts. I don't know if that was passive aggressive.
I think you're just being honest, and that's what people hate.
Yeah.
I've grown to learn and understand people hate honesty.
They do.
They want you to drink the Kool-Aid of their team.
Yeah.
So if you can find some blue Kool-Aid, chug a lug, baby.
I don't even drink. I hate my owner. I can't stand Jerry Jones.
I'm with you. I hate him too.
Yeah. I don't even drink my own team's Kool-Aid. I'm not going to drink yours if I don't drink mine.
But you're still a fan.
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
You love the team.
Yeah, I love the team, but can't stand the owner. I absolutely can't stand that, dude. Yeah.
Someone said, I'm a Cowboys fan in Houston. Don't give a crap about the Texans. The fans piss me off more than anything. I don't lose sleep if the Texans make the playoffs or win.
Right.
Okay. And you're agreeing with that.
Yeah, I don't care. Good
and
for them.
People saying that you're ridiculously 90% all NFC team, all NFL team.
No, just NFC. I didn't say NFL. NFC. Right.
Okay, well, exhibits A, B, C, D, and E have been given. Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, Eric Dickerson.
All overrated.
Randy Moss.
All overrated.
Calvin Johnson.
All overrated.
Larry Fitzgerald.
I don't even know what you're talking
Chris
about.
Chris Carter.
I don't know. Did those
and
guys
another
even
Jerry Rice.
Did they even play for the NFC?
So, again,
remember, you're talking to the Kellyanne Conway of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yes, Kellyanne, 90% steep.
I'm going to ignore that those players ever existed.
We look forward to your tweets later this evening as well, sir. So those were just some of the text messages we got.
I was waiting. I'm happy that person. I was waiting for someone to bring up Montana and Rice and all the, you know, of course. And that's you're still wrong, but that's very fair. Good for you.
Okay. And then we also had this one previous segment about Urban Meyer. Why should Urban have to be a babysitter? He has his own life. Y'all are being ridiculous.
Well, because he's
ridiculous?
The head coach.
He's the head coach.
It all
he is
falls
in charge
under him.
Of looking after parents, children, and kids, and they're not adults yet in a lot of cases.
Look, I'm sorry to say this, but that is part of the job of being a head coach is you're the babysitter for that entire organization. You have to, that is part of the gig.
Watch Hard Knocks and realize it's not just in college. The head coach has a lot of babysitting to do.
That person is absolutely right. In a perfect world, why should that happen? But however, when you are the head coach, that's part of the gig, man. Like, you have to make sure you're
no doubt about
it. You have to make sure. That's
all right. Before we get to the break, Antonio's been gracious enough to hold a long time. Let's talk about Cowboys. What's up?
What's up, Antonio?
Joel, Nick, how y'all doing?
Hey, what's
up, man? Jerry's here.
Hey,
I
want to say, first off, I love the show. I work nights. This is the show that I listen to on the way to work. Y'all are the best show on 97.5.
There you go.
Hands down, no questions asked. Jerry, good to hear a Cowboys fan.
Hey, thank
on,
you.
On Houston Radio, I'm a member of the DCFH.
Hey,
Cowboys fans of Houston, shout out to Crystal College. I got to say this, real quick take.
Go for
Houston
it.
Texans fans, listen to me.
Uh-oh.
I know it's nap time, put down the juice box, listen to Antonio. We do not hate you. You are not relevant to us, okay? Yes, our titles are over 20 years old. Last time I checked, trophies and rings do not have expiration dates.
Thank you.
Teams with no titles should not be talking trash to teams with titles. That being said, I am a Rockets and an Astros fan. I'm proud of the Rockets titles. I don't go bringing them up. In fact, Houston Texans fans are the ones that bring them up. They also like to bring up the fact that, we beat you in 2002. Last time I checked, 2002 wasn't last year. 2017 was. That being said, on October 7th, 53 Cowboys will slaughter 53 cows. That's all I got to say. Jerry, love you. Keep doing your thing.
Love
Cowboys
you,
fans in Houston, all day. Y'all have a good one.
Thank you, man.
Thanks for letting me talk.
Hey, Antonio should be Houston's mayor.
The first part of your call was
he
so
should be
good.
Houston's mayor. By the way, Nick is only saying that because of what Antonio said. Antonio started going off on this pro-Cowboy rant, and there's like, we only got 20 seconds, guys. Yeah, right. Yeah, you were just saying that.
Hey, we
got
to go to break because we have sports mappers joining us on the simulcast at 3 o'clock. Don't go anywhere. More of the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5.